certain or whatever, the fruits, the vegetables, they all grow at with different medicine for that season. You know, I'm just thinking of now, like the pumpkins and the kale and the broccoli, like those harder greens that have lasted, like a lot of that is great for these soups and, you know, just like high iron nutrients that can just help us boost up for this winter. So, and then like, you know, in the spring it's strawberries and something that's sweet and lighter, but like also has a lot of antioxidants and vitamins like that. So, you know, it's awesome to also like go through that with everyone to see like, yeah, this is the season for this and this is the season for that. And also respecting that nature has its cycles like that, you know, like it's very easy for us to just go to a grocery store and be disconnected because, you know, we want to get strawberries in the winter, you know, but to just be able to know that the land has its time too, I think is a good lesson for us to see. And, you know, just working through the gardens, like seeing how people are also seeing how life grows, you know. And then, you know, putting things to rest in the end. And that's another just lesson for us to go a little bit more, a little more inward and giving ourselves space for rest and slowing down to reflect and kind of build up for the next season.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Almost a hibernation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the your most delicious thing that you grew this year?
The most delicious...
Or your favorite vegetable to grow?
Well, I grew some lemon cucumbers, which were...
I don't even know what that is.
A lemon cucumber. It's like, you know, it was probably cross, you know, made in some kind of way. But it's like a cucumber that they usually grow kind of round and they have like a lemony flavor to it. And especially in like the early summer, it was really nice to like harvest it out. And they grow like... Some of them were just growing like funky too. Like they'll be all different kind of shape, but it made it seem like I was like learning a new like fruit, you know, out here and like and being able to like eat it and just cut it up, and it was so refreshing, and just add like some olive oil and tomatoes and like just eat fresh in that way. It was very nice. The tomatoes also always like super to have that juiciness. And was really happy to grow a lot of flowers, which, you know, you can make some for tea and things like that, but also just to like have them around and being able to like decorate my home with flowers or give them as gifts was really awesome. But yeah, but I think the juiciest was definitely like those lemon cucumbers, like those hit. And I tried to grow some melons. I think I have to find a new spot for those, but like I was looking forward to that being one of the, you know, but it was good. You know, it's a nice harvest, peppers and a lot of like leafy greens, a lot of herbal things. But the lemon cucumbers, though, those were the juicy ones.
Nice. I'm gonna look those up.
Yeah.
I think I may have like through a farm. I may have gotten them before, just not knowing what they were.
Right.
Because there's also some, not radishes. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of kind of funky round things that
right.
I often don't know what they are, but I end up kind of cutting them up and maybe they're all in the radish family. I'm not really sure.
Mm.
But I still remember during the pandemic belonging to a farm where we would get a box, I guess, every week or every 2 weeks.
Mm.
And, you know, opening the box and knowing only about... especially because this was the winter,
yes.
You know, really only knowing about 20% of what was in there.
Right, right.
And then slowly kind of discovering, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks, like, what do I do with this? How do I cook it? How do I eat it? What is it? And I remember that experience being really wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it's very exciting. Like a farm share, like,
yeah,
type thing, right?
Yeah.
CSA. Yeah, those are dope. And shout out to Long Table Harvest that does a lot of... you know, farm shares that they give out to just people in community who need it free of charge, you know, anyone who really wants it. They're taken to acknowledge that there is an abundance and that there is enough to share. And I think it's really awesome that they make that available to people. But, you know, we're all learning like that too. Like, okay, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I could pickle it, you know, and like make it last.
So, what's the best way for people to find out more about Grow Black Hudson who are listening today?
You can follow, I have, pages on Facebook, like Grow Black Hudson and Instagram right now. I don't have a website or anything like that. It's still very organic in that way of just like, the main thing being about letting the people that I'm working with know, like what is available, what are we doing, you know, like that's my priority, you know, so, and the best way I've been reaching them is through like direct messaging, you know, like texting them, calling them, or through Facebook. So that's where I do the main like communications and shout out different mm-hmm. things and, you know, the organizing. And then Instagram is kind of more to share with people who've been following the story and want to continue to support in whatever way, through donations or through or just seeing what's happening, you know. And we, you know, people donate all kind of things, seeds, soil, you know, so it's really like awesome to just have that platform to be able to kind of mediate the resources, mm-hmm. you know, to just put the call out there and then people are down to give back. So it's been great to have the two and just to see how, you know, there is this, you know, this little glimmer of like positivity with like social media and how it can really help bring community together in that way and that awareness.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohican stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acreck, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And each week, I'm joined by young readers to discuss books. Books we all love, books we hate, and other bookish things. This week, because it's been a holiday week, we're not able to get together to come on the radio and share our suggestions for the week. But I'm here to talk about some books in honor of Native American Heritage Month, which is the month of November. I wanted to share some suggested titles of books for all ages, from littles to bigs. And I thought I would start with the littles. The book that I'd like to highlight that is a picture book is Remember by Joy Harjo, with illustrations by Michaela Goad. And Harjo is an American poet, musician, playwright, and author. She was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and is a member of the Muscogee Nation. She also recently served as the 23rd United States Poet Laureate. She was the first Native American to hold that honor, and she was only the second Poet Laureate in the history of Poet Laureates to have served for three terms. And so she's no longer the United States Poet Laureate, but she was the previous one. And so she, in addition to writing plays, memoirs, writing songs, she writes poetry. And one of her poems, Remember, was made into a picture book. And the amazing Michaela Goad did the illustrations for that. And Goad is an illustrator who was born in Juneau, Alaska. She's a member of the Tlingit and Haida tribes. She's best known for her picture books. And she won the 2021 Caldecott Medal for her illustrations in We Are Water Protectors. She was the first Indigenous artist to receive that award. And she has a number of picture books that are all just very beautiful. Her illustrations are definitely worth checking out. But I can't show you the illustrations on the radio, but I can read you a poem. I will read you the poem, Remember, by Joy Harjo. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth. We are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them, listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember, you are all people and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember, the dance language is that life is. Remember. That's Remember by Joy Harjo. It was originally from the collection of poems called She Had Some Horses. And then, as I noted earlier, it was recently made into a picture book adaptation with beautiful illustrations by Michaela Goad. So I hope you'll check it out. So that is just one of several picture books for kids by Native American authors and illustrators that I would highly suggest you check out. There are books by Julie Flett in our collection that are beautiful. We have biographies such as Finding My Dance by Rhea Thundercloud and Chester Nez and the Unbreakable Code, Navajo Code Talker Story by Joseph Bruchak. We have Powwow Day by Tracy Sorrell, When the Shadbush Blooms by Carla Messenger, When We Are Kind by Monique Grace Smith, The First Blade of Sweetgrass, a Native American story by Suzanne Greenlaw and Gabriel Frey, Fry Bed by Kevin Noble Mylard, Kiponomok, a Thanksgiving story by Danielle Greendeer, Anthony Perry, and Alexis Bunton. Definitely check out some of these books. They're beautiful. They're great for all ages. You don't have to be a kid to read them or a parent of a kid. I hope you'll enjoy them. And for my middle grade pick, I wanted to share a book that I've read maybe just over a year ago. That's lovely. It's called Sisters of the Neversea by Cynthia Leitich Smith. And it is a retelling of the Peter Pan story. And I will read the description for this book because it has been a little while since I've read it. In this modern take of the popular classic Peter Pan, award-winning author Cynthia Leitich Smith brilliantly shifts the focus from the boy who won't grow up to Native American Lily and English Wendy, stepsisters who must face both dangers and wonders to find their way back to the family they love. Stepsisters Lily and Wendy embark on a high-flying journey of magic, adventure, and courage to a fairy tale island known as Neverland. Lily and Wendy have been best friends since they became stepsisters, but with their feuding parents planning to spend the summer apart, what will become of their family and their friendship? Little do they know that a mysterious boy has been watching them from the oak tree outside their window, a boy who intends to take them away from home for good to an island of wild animals, merfolk, fairies, and kidnapped children, a boy who calls himself Peter Pan. And that was just a really fun middle grade book. I feel like it does what classic retellings do when they do it the best, which is they take the best parts of the Peter Pan story, the original story, and they give it sort of a fresh modern take that also addresses some of the problematic elements of the original and just makes it fresh and new and exciting for a modern audience. And Cynthia Leitich Smith is a wonderful author. She's a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. She writes fiction for children and young adults centered on the lives of modern day Native Americans. So she's got picture books, middle grade books, and YA titles. She is also the author curator behind the HarperCollins Heart Drum imprint, centering Indigenous stories, authors, and illustrators for kids and teens. So that's a great imprint to check out if you're looking for more titles for young adults and children. Some other books for middle grade readers that may be of interest to our listeners. There's the series that starts with How I Became a Ghost by Tim Tingle, which I loved. The Storyteller by Brandon Hobson. The JoJo McCune series, which is a bit of a younger reader, by Don Quigley. There's the Birch Bark House books by Louise Erdrich and Res Dogs by Joseph Bruschak. There's a collection of short stories by several different authors called Ancestor Approved, which was edited by Cynthia Leitich Smith, and The Sea in Winter by Christine Day. I could go on and on. Definitely check out some of these titles, and I'm sure you can find even more or ask a librarian. But moving on to teen books, I wanted to highlight another book by Cynthia Leitich Smith that I have not read that I think sounds really good and I'm excited to read. It is called Harvest House, and this is the description. Deftly leading readers to the literary crossroads of contemporary realism and haunting mystery, Cynthia Leitich Smith revisits the world of her American Indian Youth Literature Award winner, Hearts Unbroken. Halloween is near, and Huey Wolf is volunteering at a new rural attraction, Harvest House. He's excited to take part in the fun, spooky show until he learns that an actor playing the vengeful spirit of an Indian maiden, a ghost inspired by a local legend, will headline. Folklore aside, unusual things have been happening at night at the crossroads near Harvest House. A creepy man is stalking teenage girls and young women, particularly Indigenous women. Dogs are fretful and on edge, and wild animals are behaving strangely. While Huey weighs how and when to speak up about the bigoted legend, he and his friends begin to investigate the crossroads and whether it might be haunted after all. As moon rises on All Hallows' Eve, will they be able to protect themselves and their community? Gripping and evocative, Harvest House showcases a versatile storyteller at her spooky, unsettling best. So I may be a little late to this one because I do like to read a spooky book in October, and I think I neglected to do that this year, but definitely going to check this one out. It sounds really good. I have not yet read Hearts Unbroken, which sounds like it's connected to this in some ways, but my understanding is that you don't have to have read that to dive into this one. So dive away. And a handful of other books for teens that I can suggest. There's Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley, The Marrow Thieves by Cherie Demoline, Killer of Enemies by Joseph Bruschak, Apple Skin to the Core by Eric Gansworth. There's multiple books by Darcy Little Badger, Alatsue, Snake Falls to Earth. There's an adult version of this book as well, but there is a young reader's version that I suggest called An Indigenous People's History of the United States, which is by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. And the young readers was adapted by Jean Mendoza and Debbie Reese. And there's two collections of, they're sort of like a collection of essays, poems, artwork by various Indigenous artists and authors and illustrators. So there's two collections. They're both edited by Lisa Charlie Boy and Mary Beth Leatherdale. One is called Hashtag Not Your Princess, Voices of Native American Women. And the other is called Dreaming in Indian, Contemporary Native American Voices. And they're both really wonderful collections of art and inspiration and stories and experiences. So I highly suggest those two. Check some of these out. And lastly, I'll share a book that's intended audience was adult readers. Since this is a youth radio show, I don't usually talk about adult books unless I feel like they have potential for crossover for young readers. And this one, I believe, would be appropriate for older teens. Common Sense Media suggests it for 16 and up. So take that as you will. But this book is called The Roundhouse. It's by Louise Erdrich. She is an American author of novels, poetry, and children's book featuring Native American characters and settings. She's an enrolled member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, which is a federally recognized tribe of Ojibwe people. She has won numerous awards, including the National Book Award for Fiction for The Roundhouse. She's also won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, the Scott Odell Award for Historical Fiction, the World Fantasy Award, the Pushcart Prize in Poetry, and the O. Henry Award for Short Story, along with many, many other awards. And while I haven't read all of Erdrich's work so far, so there's still room for a book to win out my heart over this one. So far, The Roundhouse is my favorite of her books, and I'll read you the description. From one of the most revered novelists of our time, an exquisitely told story of a boy on the cusp of manhood who seeks justice and understanding in the wake of a terrible crime that upends and forever transforms his family. One Saturday in the spring of 1988, a woman living on a reservation in North Dakota is attacked. The details of the crime are slow to surface because Geraldine Coutts is traumatized and reluctant to relive or reveal what happened, either to the police or to her husband, Basil, and 13-year-old son, Joe. In one day, Joe's life is irrevocably transformed. He tries to heal his mother, but she will not leave her bed and slips into an abyss of solitude. Increasingly alone, Joe finds himself thrust prematurely into an adult world for which he is ill-prepared. While his father, a tribal judge, endeavors to wrest justice from a situation that defies his efforts, Joe becomes frustrated with the official investigation and sets out with his trusted friends, Cappy, Zach, and Angus, to get some answers of his own. Their quest takes them first to the Roundhouse, a sacred space and place of worship for the Ojibwe. And this is only the beginning. The Roundhouse is a page-turning masterpiece, at once a powerful coming-of-age story, a mystery, and a tender, moving novel of family, history, and culture. So that's The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich. Definitely suggest that for mature teens or older teens and adults, of course. And so those are my book suggestions for Native American Heritage Month this November. Hope you'll check some of them out. These titles are all available to borrow through the library. And if you want even more suggestions, feel free to ask a librarian. We're happy to help put books in your hands. And I'm going to close out this week with a couple poems. These poems I found on the poets.org Native American Heritage Month Poems for Kids section. You can do a search online and find these. There's a great little list. And I'm going to start with one by Hyde E. Erdrich, who happens to be the sister of Louise Erdrich. And this one is called Red Language. If I heard the words you once used in our wild place, rough with scrub roses in sand, If your words came back gray and kind as mild winter, believe me, I'd still understand. Offer my own red language, my tongue to your tongue, so we recall what we once said that made us live, made us choose to live. So that is Red Language by Hyde E. Erdrich. You can find out more about her and read more of her poems on poets.org. And for the final poem for today, I'm going to bring it all back to the beginning of this episode where we talked about Joy Harjo. So this is another poem from Harjo. It's called This Morning I Pray for My Enemies. And whom do I call my enemy? An enemy must be worthy of engagement. I turn in the direction of the sun and keep walking. It's the heart that asks the question, not my furious mind. The heart is the smaller cousin of the sun. It sees and knows everything. It hears the gnashing, even as it hears the blessing. The door to the mind should only open from the heart. An enemy who gets in risks the danger of becoming a friend. And that is This Morning I Pray for My Enemies by Joy Harjo, originally from Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings Poems. And that book is available to borrow through the library. We also have several other books by Joy Harjo. Or you can check out her work online through poets.org if you want to read some more. But on that note, we're going to say goodbye for today. Hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And I'll be back next week with my youth co-host to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading!